And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
Well, I don't know about the fast part, but anyway.
Well, might be halfway.
We digress. We are joined still by Sean Clark from NASA.
NASA,
talking
part
about the
two.
X-57 Research X-Plane. I don't know what you want to call it.
Well, they call it the Maxwell. Where did you get the name Maxwell?
So James Clerk Maxwell is kind of a hero to electrical engineers like me. He was a physicist, a scientist who first described how electric and magnetic fields work to help us design electric motors like this.
There you go.
So we learned Maxwell's equations. Those
Question
are the big things for us.
You've got centralized battery packs and not centralized motors, which means you've got an awful lot of heavy power cables running through this thing. Are all your speed controllers at the motor, so that basically all you have is a power bus running back and forth? Or
Yeah, that's right. So we're distributing DC power throughout the airplane. Our batteries are about 500 volts. We're going to charge them up to about 530, and they'll drop to around 420 or so by the end of the flight. And then the speed controllers are actually with each motor. So the crews have two speed controllers each out at the wingtip nacelles, and then each of the small high-lift motors has a speed controller right mounted with it.
Right, and giant welding cables to supply all the power.
It's not as bad as you'd think. So we're using some new experimental cables that we've helped design with our distributor. Empirical Systems Aerospace is our prime contractor, and they hired Wirenetics to build a special flat cable for us that's silicone-coated and very flexible, and it's only about 4 gauge, so it's not too big for each of the motors, and we run 4 of those buses through each wing.
Wow, that's not bad.
No, it isn't.
Flat is easier to embed in fiberglass or whatever, strap down.
Exactly. We have a fiberglass duct that we put all the cables in, and we have that full redundant architecture, so if any one cable has a problem, we can shut that bus off and use the others.
Wow. Now, hopefully that's all available to the pilot in case of the emergency situation. Anyway.
One of the questions I have is battery cooling. Heat, obviously, is a major factor in battery life. How are you guys handling keeping those batteries cool?
Yeah, and that's a challenge. We wanted to avoid as much complexity in the airplane as we could. You can see it's complex enough looking already with 14 motors. So everything on the airplane is air-cooled. We've got air-cooled motors and air-cooled motor controllers sitting behind each motor. The battery system is air-cooled. It actually doesn't really even have any cooling. We're doing all of our analysis assuming that it doesn't get any cooling effect from the cabin air, so that we'll chill them to about 10 degrees C, about 50 degrees F before we take off. And then by the time we land, they'll be about 40 C, about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and then we'll chill them after we land. And so if we get some extra cooling, that helps, but we're not relying on that.
I'm assuming by chilling, you've got an air conditioning unit. You just plug into the aircraft and cool them down that
exactly.
way.
Exactly, yeah. We've got massive air carts that we'll use to chill the whole airplane ahead of time and make sure our batteries are ready for flight.
Okay, that's kind of an interesting pre-flight step.
You know, I never thought of chilling batteries like that. It doesn't work on the model aircraft because they're so small. But
right.
What's the physical dimension? How much weight are you carrying in batteries?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the airplane is, if you go by the Technum tent today, you'll see their P2060 is rated to 2,700 pounds. We're actually increasing ours to 3,000 pounds so that we can handle all the batteries. And so that way, when we put our battery system in, we don't overload the airframe by reducing the maneuvering loads. The battery system is about 900 pounds when you include all of the mounting structure and cabling and battery management computer. So it's almost a third of the weight of the airplane.
That's a bit.
That's a fair. Well, you
but
know what?
You make up for it in the fact that your engines are all quite light.
Yeah, the engines are very light. There's no emissions. It's a zero emissions vehicle, so that's a nice side effect.
No cold start problems,
well, you know,
no warm up time.
And no oil changes.
Yep.
And no power lapse with altitude. It's not air
breathing.
That's right.
You're not dropping power.
You know, one of the other things, and I just derailed my whole train of thought. Doggone it. No, I was going to say the weight of the battery pack and supporting structure and everything is probably pretty close to the full fuel load of the original aircraft.
That's a good question. Don't know.
Me neither.
Yeah, it's in the neighborhood. Batteries today, we had to take out the two back seats and had to use the whole cargo area. So it's this airplane, you wouldn't want to go buy it. We have one seat left for a test pilot, and then the co-pilot seat is replaced with an instrumentation rack for us. But as these technologies improve and NASA raises the technology readiness level, we call it the TRL, of motors and wing design, then the batteries are improving every year. They're getting about double the performance every 10 years or so. And so 10 years from now, you'll see 400 watt-hour per kilogram batteries, which is kind of a critical number. Airplanes that are all electric start to have ranges of 100, 200 miles when we get to that level.
Well, there I was reading about battery technology. They're talking about, I think it's a lithium polymer battery with some kind of a glass insulator in it. And they're saying that this potentially eliminates just about every battery problem there is. You know, the one of the things that they're worried about with lithium batteries is shorting in flight. This was a big issue with the, Samsung
yes.
Note 7, yeah. And
there is a guy that's developed a dry electrolyte for lithium batteries. It's actually a film. I don't know. I saw it on YouTube. I don't know if he's in production or what, but that's the big problem with lithium batteries. They say the electrolyte is flammable.
Yeah.
That's why they're so exciting.
Yeah, and that's a concern that we've got to overcome for this. We've got them sitting right behind our pilot, so we obviously need to find a way to put them in safely. We're actually using space station technology. So our researchers at Johnson Space Center have developed ways of mounting these batteries so that if a battery cell goes into thermal runaway and starts to spit the electrolyte out and you have sparks flying out of it, they've got a packaging method that keeps that from triggering the next cell over from
right.
going into
Stop
thermal runaway.
Cascade, yeah, right.
So there's no cascade effect. So we're using that technology on the X-57.
Are you having any kind of a fire suppression system on board just in case?
No, that would be pretty heavy because the only way you can stop a lithium-ion battery from running away is to cool it down. You can't remove the oxygen. It's all built in.
Right.
So you would have to have about as much water as you do batteries, and we can't afford 900 pounds of water.
No,
not right now.
Well, I was
well
wondering,
you have to remember, this is a technology demonstrator program. This is
yeah.
not a finished product yet.
Yep. But have you tested the battery packs to destruction yet?
We have. It was a pretty exciting test. I don't think I brought the videos with me, but we did a full test and got a lot of good data on our initial design and went back and improved the design from that. And we'll be doing another test in the next couple months.
Again, the listeners, if you want to watch or watch, if you want to see the airplane, the model, you can go to our live stream at eaaradio.net and watch us on the webcam.
And also, if for those of you who'd like to find out more about it, you can just Google NASA X-57. That's what I did.
There you
go.
And
I got all kinds of wonderful information. There's a great picture of the aircraft in flight. Well, the
artist rendering,
conception.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're still working
Coming
on
soon.
Yes.
Coming
yes.
soon to an airport near you. It's an interesting concept. You know, when you think of NASA, everybody thinks of rockets. But NASA has an extensive history of X-planes going all the way back to practically the speed of sound.
Yeah, yeah, all the way back to X-1. That's when researchers first started showing up at Edwards Air Force Base on the dry lake bed where I work now. So, yeah, it's nice to be in the long sequence of research aircraft.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun times out there when you get this prototype in the air, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What are the long-term goals of this? Are you shooting towards general aviation aircraft powered with these systems?
Yeah, it's really exciting because these electric propulsion technologies apply to so many different vehicle configurations. There's a lot of interest in urban mobility lately, so there's a lot of vertical takeoff, short-range aircraft that are being proposed.
Well, tilt rotor is a natural progression.
Exactly. Tilt rotor is an interesting concept, and there's a lot of manufacturers who are looking at configurations like that. Our power distribution system is just like many of those that you would need. So it's
like a giant quadcopter.
Really?
Could be. Yeah.
Seriously?
Could be. Although they need some rotor motors on the tail for the vertical.
Yeah. I was going to say, how long does it take you to charge the battery pack back up once you've exhausted it?
We're going to fly for about an hour, and then we'll take maybe 4 or 5 hours to recharge because we want to be as gentle as we can when we can for the battery system. And so we'll charge about a C/5, we call it. So it's about a five-hour recharge time. And we'll take our time, charge up over the afternoon, and be ready for a flight the next morning.
And I'll bet you dollars to donuts you're going to have those cooling carts running like, running hard.
Oh, we'll have to chill it after the flight, but I don't think we'll need it just because of the charging because we're going to be pretty gentle with it.
Right. Plus, it'll take them 5 hours at least to download to start crunching the results.
Yeah, we got a lot of data to go over.
Yep.
I was going to say, it's got to be a rather sophisticated computer system on board that's logging all your data points and everything. It takes days to go through all that.
Yeah, we're downlinking all of our data, and the most sophisticated computer on the airplane is our test pilot, though. So that's why we went with a manned airplane, because we've got a high-performance test pilot that's going to be able to tell us a lot more about how the aircraft handles.
Right. Well, you're going to monitor the systems, because obviously he can't watch 14 motors.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Number 6 is a little low.
Yeah, it's got the light on the dashboard. It says a little low.
Check engines.
Yeah. I hate when that light comes on. You've got a test pilot, and undoubtedly he's got, you know, thousands of hours of jet time and everything. Do you think that the test pilot, when he looks at this airplane, he's going to go and say, "You want me to fly what?"
Well, he flies ER2s on his off days, so he's used to these high aspect ratio vehicles.
Okay, well, that's good. At least he's familiar with the project.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the craziest thing he's been asked to do.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
We have this. You're listening to us with Sean Clark from NASA, and talking about the X-57 electric, all-electric airplane. No boosted controls needed.
No,
so not quite that electric.
And it's going to have pretty much the normal cruise speed for what the airplane that it's based off of, the Technam P2
2016. Yep.
2016.
Yeah, same envelope.
Okay. And that means that this is going to be, you know, a guy can go from the gasoline-powered aircraft right into this with no transition at all.
And it won't be a $100 hamburger anymore.
No.
Electricity's a lot cheaper.
If we can get some better batteries, yep.
Yep. Well, hey, they're getting there. They're getting there.
You know, I was going to say it would be really cool if you could cook the hamburger on the batteries, but...
Oh, stop. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.